Hello and welcome to The Rate Debate. I'm Darren Langer, co-head of fixed income at Yarra Capital, and joining me as usual is my co-portfolio manager, Chris Rands.
Hello, everyone.
Well, it's Tuesday the 1st of March and the RBA has just met, and pretty much business as usual from the RBA, Chris. Wasn't anything really new in their statement from what I could see.
No, the statement looks pretty much similar as last month, and the RBA is telling us that they expect to be patient and that the world's still pretty uncertain.
Yeah, they've used two words that I think are key to their current sort of mindset. They've used the word uncertainty, which this time was linked more to what's happening in Ukraine, and they used the word patience, which we've talked about a few times, that they're really in a mindset that they don't want to move too early and risk any kind of recovery at all, and they're just willing to, I guess, run things a little bit harder for a bit longer than maybe many people in the market are comfortable with. But you know, as we've said many, many times before, central banks have a tendency to over tighten and to kill off the green shoots of growth. So it seems like Governor Lowe is definitely willing to wait and be as patient as possible. So I guess, you know, from our perspective, what do you think patience actually means at the moment?
I think when you look at certainly what the RBA has been saying over the past, you know, 12 to 18 months is that they're going to be hiking when the inflation rate is sustainably in that 2 to 3% range. So as we know at the moment, inflation is back in that 2 to 3% range for the first time in kind of 6 years. If I was kind of looking at this, I would be saying, well, sustainable is probably at least, you know, expecting to remain in that band for kind of 12 to 18 months. So if they see another inflation print come in that kind of 2 to 3% range, maybe a little bit higher, and then they're still forecasting that that's going to persist into 2023, then I think that would be when you're starting to get ready to pull the trigger. The problem at the moment that I kind of see from the market's thinking and what's going on is that we spent a long time getting back into the 2 to 3% range. And if we think back to last year, there was actually a lot of talks that maybe we should let inflation run higher for a little bit of time. So I think it would be silly to kind of step in at the first sign that inflation is here. I think they want to see at least a couple of prints, and that kind of sets them up potentially for the back half of this year to be doing something, if not maybe even the start of 2023.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk too around wages. You know, the RBA really brings a lot of their forward guidance back to we want to see wages pick up before we tighten rates. We did get a recent wages number, but from the way I look at it, it looked pretty much the same as it has for the last few years. Yes, there was a slight tick up if you sort of squint really hard and look at it. But, you know, some commentators were talking about there being broad wage gains across the economy, but it was really hard to see in the aggregate number. What are you sort of seeing?
Yeah, I actually went through and kind of did a look at the different sectors and what was moving just to kind of get a feel for, you know, whether it is broad, whether it's kind of isolated to certain sectors. And, you know, if you squint hard enough, maybe you can kind of say that it's broad and picking up, but it does look exactly the same as what we've seen over the past kind of 4 years. If you break down kind of the different sectors, there was only one sector that was above 3%, and that was accommodation and food services at about 3.5%. And then the next highest sector was retail trade at about 2.6% year on year. So, you know, what we've heard, I guess, from the narrative is that, you know, restaurants are struggling to find workers and, you know, people have been filling in for other people in the retail sector and all this. And even with that pressure, even with a 4% unemployment rate, you're not really seeing wages pick up substantially. There's actually still three sectors that are below 2%, which I found interesting because two of those, one was mining and the other one was transport and postal services. Given we've been, you know, also hearing about postal services being backlogged, you know, up to the neck and packages taking forever to arrive, it's interesting that even in that area, we're not seeing wages kind of pick up. You know, it is slightly higher than it's been over the past 4 years, but in terms of the industry breakdown, there's nothing even really kind of flying higher at the moment. So I think from the RBA's perspective, they're going to look at that and say, well, wages are picking up slightly, but it's nothing to kind of write home about yet.
Yeah, and I think one of the things we talked about before is the level of public sector wages, I think, was still quite low, I think well below 1%. And that's one of the things we talked about. It's very hard to get private sector wages running really hard if the public sector is constantly dragging the level down. And I think You know, we have governments on the one hand saying private enterprise needs to pay people more, but on the other hand, you've got them keeping a really tight rein over their own wages bills, which is understandable because the government expenses are very heavily linked to CPI, and they really can't afford CPI to go racing off too high because it lifts all government charges and everything along with it. But, you know, it's kind of a catch-22 where you want private sector wages to grow, but at the same time, they don't want public sector wages to grow. And it's not really going to work, I don't think, long-term.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, on top of that, when you look at those two sectors that I mentioned that were kind of seeing the wage gains, the accommodation and food services and retail trade, those aren't really sectors that would probably drag the entire wages bucket higher with it historically. Normally you would kind of, I guess, expect to see that the higher value wage area is kind of pushing it. And on top of that, as the borders start to reopen, if we start to get more and more people filling those accommodation and food services and retail trade jobs, then perhaps those wages can actually kind of be capped here as well, as we get kind of that student workforce back that is probably likely to be working a lot of those jobs.
The other thing with that is that it's probably in industries where there's a tipping point to where people just won't pay above a certain amount for those services either. You know, the choice to go out to a restaurant versus the choice to stay at home and cook. You know, there is a tipping point where you just can't keep jacking the prices up to pay people more and more. And you know, the thing that also sits in the back of my mind is there's also industries that are probably rife for automation at some point in time. And you know, it could well speed up some of those kinds of factors as well. Obviously not in the short run, but longer term, you know, that's the risk in these kinds of industries that, you know, the if you start to get wage pressures, you know, they can be automated out of the system rather than necessarily constantly getting higher and higher pay rises. So, yeah, it's one of those things that it's going to be interesting. But I think the way automation and other things are going, labor is going to constantly struggle to get higher and higher wages because of technology and various other things. And I don't think that trend has changed just because we've had a pandemic and a few shortages and, you know, a few supply chain issues.
Yeah, no, I guess the one last positive that kind of sits in that is if wages kind of rise to 3% and, you know, core inflation sits at 2.5%, well, you know, that's exactly what the RBA has been aiming for. So you look at this economic information that, you know, maybe the market economists have been a little bit upset with, and, you know, at its rawest, it's kind of what you would expect the economy to be putting out when it's in that steady state. So it's not the end of the world, certainly, if it stays here. It'll just slow the RBA down in being able to tighten rates.
So I guess that brings us on to the fact that a few of these market economists were starting to get a bit excited about possible RBA hike in June. I think that number that came out for the wages was probably low enough to sort of put the RBA on the sidelines for a bit longer. We've got another inflation print in April. We've got the election coming up over the next couple of months. There's probably not a lot of upside for the RBA to tighten just yet. So it probably pushes it back to more like, you know, August at the earliest. That's certainly not our call, but I would think August at the earliest and probably, you know, the latter half of 2022. They love November, so maybe then if it's going to happen this year. But I think, you know, it's really hard to see on the numbers so far that the RBA's got a lot of justification.
Yeah, and this kind of feeds into kind of something that we've looked at recently with just the timing of when the RBA goes and what they like to see. Unlike offshore, I've never understood why we receive our inflation prints quarterly. You know, we have a monetary policy that's set off that figure, yet we see the number four times a year. Because of that, the next inflation figure comes in April. And then after that, it turns up in July. The problem for the RBA is if they see a high inflation print in April, then there's a federal election coming in May. So they'll probably want to sit on their hands then. And then by the time we roll through that, it's basically June and they'll probably be thinking, oh, I wouldn't mind seeing one more, which would put them at July. That kind of sets it up for what the RBA has said recently. What Lowe said was he probably wants to see a couple more inflation prints. You know, you can kind of figure out what a couple more means, but that kind of felt like he wants to see at least two. And again, as you say, if they want to see two, then they're not going to see the second one until July. And that opens them up for the second half of this year, but I think it's going to be pretty rare or hard for them to want to go in May. And historically, June and July has not really been a timing that they go either.
Yeah, and I think, you know, April, when the next CPI comes out, if we had a shocker of a number, you know, that might change the timing a little bit, but it would have to be really awful, I think, to sort of shake the RBA out of their current policy settings. And we haven't really seen much to sort of say we're going to get that US-style shock to CPI. There are things bubbling along in the background, but there's other things still offsetting them. You know, the RBA today talked a little bit about fuel prices in particular. And yes, you know, the cost of fuel is obviously a lot higher than what it's been in recent months. We've already seen a pretty sharp adjustment to petrol prices. Ukraine may see that continue, but I think the RBA knows deep down that there's not much they can do about it. Interest rates are not the tool to control global oil prices. So I think they're trying to talk their way away from fuel-led inflation as being a trigger for rate hikes, rather than, you know, let that simmer in the background. So I think that was interesting for them to actually be very specific on that this time.
I think that makes sense, though. And certainly when you look at what they're communicating and kind of where the market is pricing, if oil does continue to pick up, then headline CPI probably will continue to push higher. So that potentially can take the headline figure into, you know, the 4% range, which would be the highest number in a very long time for the RBA. But what you probably want to look at is the core CPI number in that instance, because the core CPI figure is going to be telling you more about the domestic economy than, you know, what's going on offshore that's causing the oil price to jag higher.
It's an interesting point. We've actually seen some of the Federal Reserve governors talk about whether core inflation versus CPI inflation is actually the right number. And some of the more dovish sort of members in the past on the Fed Reserve anyway are actually talking more about CPI as opposed to core CPI. What are your thoughts around, would it make a lot of difference? Core CPI tends to cut out what a lot of criticism is, that the prices that people pay. What are your thoughts around that?
I've been mixed on this. This has been an argument that's kind of gone on for a very long time. I remember seeing, I think it was one of the Fed presidents about 6 years ago said, we probably should be focusing on headline CPI because that is what matters to people. You can cut things out, you can kind of massage it and say, you know, core CPI is not running as hot. But at the end of the day, headline CPI is what people are going to be paying for their goods. And that's the thing that we want to control. Certainly, that probably makes the most sense to do it that way. But given that the RBA is trying to figure out how low it can drive the unemployment rate, you're kind of getting caught up in a demand source that moves away from the economy. So I personally think the RBA is probably going to focus on the core CPI because it's going to tell them more about the recovery of the Australian economy. But unfortunately, for anybody that's actually spending their money, it's going to be the headline CPI that matters the most to them.
Yeah, I think the main risk to that is it probably adds a lot more volatility. We probably would have cut interest rates a lot faster and a lot more than what we did in the last 5 years. And then you probably start to get tightenings a lot more often. I'm not sure it would make a huge difference to the overall outcome, but, you know, it's obviously something that these guys are thinking about, and it would actually change some of the perception, I guess, of what the level of inflation in the economy is that actually matters. But I guess, you know, it's more of a philosophical argument rather than anything that's going to get solved today. I guess, you know, What else do you sort of think could change the RBA's mind at the moment? You know, is there anything else simmering out there that might change the way they're seeing things?
I think that in terms of what the way most central banks are facing, talking about hiking, talking about unwinding QE, that's going to be what the RBA follows, because historically the RBA kind of isn't a leader, they're kind of following what the other central banks are doing. So certainly we're in this kind of environment where we'll probably be taking our lead from the Fed. We get to see what they do in March, so that will be a pretty good signal of what we can expect going forward. The key thing that I think could kind of put a bit of, I guess, volatility into the market, what they're thinking about, is just what happens if credit spreads widens and equities kind of start to look a little bit shaky because of this conflict that's going on in Europe. Historically, the Fed has kind of paused their rate hikes when equity markets start to fall. So if there is a sign here that equity markets don't quite like what's going on, then I'd probably still expect the Fed to be hiking, but we might see that pace of hiking reduce considerably. And that will just mean that the RBA is not quite as far behind as everyone else. And maybe everybody will kind of be able to coalesce around their view that they actually are able to be patient here. I think the reason the market wants to force them so much is everybody else is talking so much hiking, and it feels like we're going to be left behind. I'm not sure that we're going to be left behind, but certainly I think that's what the market is thinking about for them.
I guess the other curveball that's been thrown, and we've talked about this before, you know, markets tend to either think all things are getting better or all things are getting worse. But, you know, we've seen constantly over the last, you know, 5 to 10, probably 20 years, that there's always something that crops up that no one expects. And I guess this conflict between Russia and the Ukraine, and to some extent the reaction by other countries to it, has probably been a lot bigger than what many people might have thought. We're certainly not experts on global politics, and we wouldn't want to sort of make too many comments on what the likely outcome and the direction of this is. But it's definitely going to be in the back of the RBA's mind, and probably the Fed's as well, that, you know, it's not an environment now where we can categorically say we're going to grow our way out of the COVID problem. And it's just probably adds more to the confusion of what's the right way to tighten policy and to maybe try and get inflation under control, particularly when at the moment, you know, energy prices are probably the main thing driving global inflation. And that's something rates really, as we've said before, doesn't do a lot for.
Yeah. And if you look at the timing, and certainly what the RBA seems to be saying with the word uncertain that they've used a couple of times now. If you asked me what's the RBA going to do and when are they going to do it, it kind of feels like the real answer here is I just don't know. If you're telling me that, you know, they need to see the inflation print come July and we're not really certain what they're going to do until August or November, then you're starting to get a time frame where you're in this kind of period of who knows what could occur. You know, a few things that kind of sit out there, you know, we've been stopping and starting because of COVID. Now there's a war. The Federal Reserve will begin unwinding QE, you know, this month. And on top of that, it's starting to look like house prices are starting to peak in Australia as well. And certainly some softness is starting to turn up in Sydney and Melbourne. So to say that they're definitely going to do something in 6 months' time seems like a bit of a stretch. And I think that's what the RBA is telling us. Things are uncertain at the moment. Let's just give it a little bit of time. If inflation and wages pick up, we're going to be ready to go. And if they don't pick up, then we'll be monitoring the situation. But I think it's just the time frame that we're looking at here to say they're definitely going to do something in 6 months' time is the odd thing to me, because, you know, things change so quickly at the moment.
Yeah, it was almost refreshing to see the RBA almost say, we don't know either, but we're waiting to watch and see what happens. It's a rare set of honesty in financial markets when someone admits they don't know what's going on. So it was kind of refreshing.
Yeah, and I guess the other side of that is if you look at a central bank like the Fed, then their inflation rate is kind of sitting closer to 6-7%. So they are in a position where they are ready to go. If that's where the RBA was looking at for inflation here at the moment, I think they would be ready to go too, but it's not. So we don't put them in that same basket, and we can kind of sit back and give it a bit of time first.
So we'll finish up there with the word uncertainty, because that's pretty much how I feel. it's a really difficult time and a lot happening to make any hard and fast calls. But certainly, you know, we still think a flatter and longer trajectory for monetary policy is more likely outcome, which is very much against what markets think at the moment. But you know, that's still our main call, and we still haven't had a lot of evidence to tilt us away from that. But, you know, all the things that we've mentioned today could change that very, very quickly. But yeah, at the moment, I think, you know, that flat, slow rising trajectory of monetary policy is still the most likely outcome for us over the next couple of years. Well, that's it for the month. If you ever want to suggest topics or discuss anything further with both Chris or I, we can be contacted at theratedebate@yarracm.com. So tune in next month when we deliver our latest thoughts on the RBA's April rate decision and provide an update on what's been happening in markets. Until then, stay safe.
The Rate Debate podcast content may contain general advice. Before acting on anything in this podcast, you should consider your own objectives, financial situation, or needs, and seek the advice of an appropriately qualified financial advisor. The actions based on information within this podcast are strictly at your own risk. Any mention of past performance is not a reliable indicator of future performance.